Hey everybody, and welcome back to Growth Mindset for Kids. Today, we are going to be talking about the best thing that you can do to help your child become more confident. And I know that is I don't want to call it a sticky subject, but it is an important one and one that we don't always know what to do about. They have low self-worth, they have low self-esteem. They don't feel like they can do anything. They give up really easily. They don't want to try again. They've got that perfectionist mentality going on, right? And it's really challenging to know because we don't always know how to feel more confident ourselves. So how the heck do we teach our kids? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm glad you're here. Welcome. I wish this was so much more interactive. If you are into interactive stuff, I do several of these as videos as well over on my Facebook page. And we actually have a free Facebook group with the same name, Growth Mindset for Kids, and I'd love to invite you to join us over there. But for now, please, please take this information in, take notes, whatever it is that you need to do to help your kid do this. I'm going to give you some really, really easy tips today. And I'm going to give you an example of how our emotions actually work so that you can help your child work through them much more effectively, which is going to help build their confidence. A lot of this comes from, we don't know what to do with our emotions. And so we stuff them down, we never deal with them. And then we just kind of live inside our bodies. We live inside our heads and nothing is ever processed. Nothing's ever validated. Nothing's ever acceptable. And we just start to question everything. And I know probably as a grown-up, you understand this. I personally am a recovering perfectionist and a mother of two, one of which who is old enough to become his own little perfectionist and the other one's only two. So we'll see what happens with her. Hopefully I can cut this off at the pass. So right now I'm just working with my former first grader on to second grade now that we are officially in the summertime. So I knew perfectionism was bound to show up somewhere. You know, we're not really aware of ourselves all the time, but when it occurred to me that, oh, this is what I was doing, I was hoping and praying that my kids would never have to deal with this stuff. And you just hope that they don't turn out like you, right? The things that you deal with, you hope that they won't have to deal with. But they watch you and they mimic you. And, you know, I knew that feeling of anxiety and that need to people please and that constant sense of good enough. And while I was overcoming these myself, it never really occurred to me that, of course, they'd be picking up on the same stuff. Like, they're watching my every move. Those little nuances matter. And especially if you've got highly intelligent children, which I'm sure that you do, they pick up on that stuff ever so much more. So when that happens, of course, it cued the perfectionist inside of me to feel like a bad parent because I had somehow allowed this to happen. It was already my fault. And I started feeling bad about myself again. So you can see how this can easily spiral. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm responsible. What have I done? I've ruined them. It's all over. And that cycle just perpetuates itself. Okay. So fear not. I'm going to give you tips and tricks that you can use to not only help this in your child, but when you help it them, you end up helping yourself. So it's a nice little side benefit. So if you've got kids that are dealing with perfectionism, anxiety, feeling inadequate, refusing to ask for help, has social anxiety, maybe they're just a little on the shy side, which is not a bad thing. I'm a quiet person. Low confidence, very hard on themselves, or they just don't want to try new things, then this is for you. Because I know with all that comes your own feelings of frustration as a parent that it's happening, or if you're a teacher, it's probably disrupting your classroom on some level. There's a feeling of helplessness. You don't know what to do. There might be embarrassment with those public, very public meltdowns when your kid's the only one doing something and nobody else's is. I know that feeling so well. You're so not alone. but you feel very, very alone, right? I was like, ooh, it's just us. I don't know anybody else who's dealing with this. And that makes you start to question yourself as a parent. Where did you go wrong? Why is no one else's kid doing this? And so on and so forth, right? You start to read books. You start to stay up late on the internet. You start to, we start to spiral and panic, right? And if you hear little boys in the background, it's because we have friends over today. So excuse the background noise. I'm not sure if you can hear it or not. So I'm just going to carry on. So why should you care? Why should you care about all this? Why should you care that I'm dealing with this too? Well, the reason is, I mean, basically it's just solidarity, right? And I figured out a way to help you. I had all those things going on too. And I felt like not that long ago, I just had to like hope for the best, right? I was like crossing my fingers. Maybe the school will help. Maybe sports are going to help. Maybe other activities are going to help. Maybe just forcing him to do things he doesn't want to do. Maybe that'll help his confidence. It never really helped me, but I don't know. Maybe it did. And like you're just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and crossing your fingers and thinking, maybe this will solve itself. I learned very quickly that this was a huge lie. Huge lie. It will not solve itself. It wasn't getting better. And in fact, it was getting worse. This is when I started to hear from the teacher about how he's gotten quieter, how he's becoming more reserved in school, how I could tell he kind of figured out the system and wasn't excited about school anymore. He wasn't excited about learning. And he was having these meltdowns in class, multiple classes. And just like you, I was on the hunt for tools and solutions to help him feel better and be able to simply cope with life so he could be a kid. Kids shouldn't have to be so worried about everything, right? They should be allowed to just be kids. So what I know is a few things. I know you need solutions and you haven't found very many. And you haven't found anything that works for sure. I know you want somebody or something to help you find your way. You need strategies, tips, resources, something. You need help. And I know you need other people that just get it, so you don't feel so alone, okay? I needed all those things too, which is why I created this entire business, because there's a world of people out there that think they're all alone in this and they don't have the resources. This is important shit that no one out there is doing anything about. So I decided to. Not a solution. I'm not okay with that. This is not acceptable. I'm going to create something that will help this, will help my child. And if you hear that noise, it's my husband mowing the lawn outside this window. This may be re-recorded. So here's what you can do today to start reversing all the negativity and stress that's going on in your home. Are you ready? Very, very simple. I want you to listen. I want you to simply listen to your kid. It's like, oh my God, that's so easy, right? Like, I already do that. This is great. But here's the catch. I want you to listen without judging, fixing, giving advice. I want you to just sit there and do nothing and let him have his freak out or her freak out and just allow it to happen. Okay? Yes, exactly this. Why? Why? Why would you tell me to do that, Erin? What does this do? Okay, there's actually a method to the madness, so bear with me. There's a few things that happen here. Number one is we all just want to be heard. As humans, as people, as children, as adults, we all just want to be heard, right? Like you don't want to be alone in how you're feeling or what's going on in your life. You need to vent, basically. Number two, allowing them to have emotions is actually going to help your child regulate them on their own. If you're like me, and if you kind of reflect back, you probably help them regulate their emotions all the time, okay? We say things like, it's okay, calm down, it's not a big deal, shh, like it's okay, like just take it easy, take a deep breath. And inside you're like, oh my God, please stop, like we're in the middle of the mall or the grocery store, this is so embarrassing. I've done it, okay? Like that was my go-to move. But by giving them permission to have these emotions in the first place, you're free to stop saying all that stuff. And they learn to regulate on their own. They're not regulating right now because you're doing it for them. And number three, if they're not great listeners when it comes to you, there's a good chance it's because you've been the example. Okay? Hard truths. I had to learn this as well. I am guilty of this. But it is true. We totally don't mean to be this way. All right? So it's unintentional. Please don't be hard on yourself. When we are aware, then we can change. When we know better, we can do better. Okay? Most of us well-intentioned parents think we listen, but we're actually teaching our kids to just get over it. Now remember, you're already a hero in my book if you have to deal with kids on a regular basis, period. It's hard work, okay? We're not going to be perfect. We can do our best. That's all we can do, okay? And if you're listening to this, it's because you want to get better, okay? So please don't be hard on yourself. What we end up doing is we invalidate their feelings because we want them to just move on and stop whining. And I so get this. I freaking hate whining. Whining is like the seventh circle of hell in my house. I don't know how many circles there are, but it's the deep one. And like, I will do anything to just make it stop. Okay? You know, whatever it is they're upset about is a tiny thing in the grand scheme. Right? It's like the shoes won't tie just right. The drink is the wrong drink. They lost a toy. They misplaced it. You told them to put it where they would remember and so on. Okay? It's annoying. I know. I get you. And if this is making you want to go get a glass of wine right now, please go get one. But remember, in their limited world and their little few years here on earth, this is huge to them because they don't have very much. If you think about it. They haven't been around long enough to understand like big responsibilities and that this is so minor. So in their world, it's massive. Listening to your kid comes down to this. I'm going to break this down for you so it's very, very simple. They need to feel three things. They need to feel feelings, and I'll explain that below, but in a minute with this example of a train. They need to feel their feelings. They need to feel heard, like I said, like they're not alone, and we need that too, and I know you can understand that at a core level, even if you don't want to sit there and listen to it. They need to be able to vent. And then they need to feel validated, like no feeling is off limits. It doesn't matter how irrational they are, that feeling is okay, and they're not wrong in how they feel, okay? That's very easy to do to somebody else, but when it happens to us, I mean, it makes me like furious. I'm like, don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell me how to calm down. Don't tell me that what I'm feeling is wrong. Okay? That's not helpful. All right? So we got to watch ourselves when we do that to other people. And by the way, kids are a little bit irrational by nature, if you haven't noticed, but it's not their fault. They're learning. Okay. So let's talk about feeling feelings. Let's talk about emotions. Okay? On a basic level, I'm going to give you an analogy that I think will help you understand how emotions work very fundamentally and how you can help your child process what's going on, not cut them off at the knees, and allow them to self-regulate, okay? So this is actually a very common analogy that I just ran across and I thought it was so brilliant. So if you're in psychology and you know all about kids already and you're a teacher for 20 years or something, you probably already know this. It's the example of the train tunnel. So imagine your child, or anyone, it could be you, is a train, and you're going through life and a negative situation comes up. Something upsets you. Negative situations trigger certain emotions, obviously. Emotions are like train tunnels. So you are the train and the emotion is the tunnel. Meaning, if I'm a train, there's only one way through this tunnel, and I have to go all the way to the other side in order to get out of it. Okay? So the only way to get through an emotion and feel better is to feel that emotion all the way to the end. Okay? And this feels scary for us as grown-ups because we think if we're going to feel something, it's going to get out of control and we're going to cry forever. Or we're going to be mad forever. I had this fear. And I'll tell you what, the other day I was feeling some emotions. I was really scared about something. And I think I cried off and on for several hours. Now that doesn't always happen. Usually it's about like 10 minutes. But this was a particularly big one and it needed to get out. And what I didn't realize is that I was holding it in, and I had been holding it in for days. So allow your feelings to come out. Get in a safe space where you can cry as long as you need to. And this is what we need to let our kids do. Because when we cut off our kids from feeling their feelings fully, whatever it is, sad, mad, even happy, right? They're excited. They're being loud. I mean, oh my gosh, it's like, please, inside voices. I get it. But we keep them from learning how to get out of the tunnel. Okay, remember, the only way to get through an emotion is to go all the way to the other side of the tunnel, all the way to the end. And we do things like teaching them crazy tactics like break out the side of the tunnel, not going into the tunnel in the first place, going backwards out of the tunnel, or jumping out of the train and climbing the walls of the tunnel. You can see the insanity of that logic. If you're picturing yourself in a tunnel and you're the train and you're trying to bust out the sides or reverse really quick or not go in there in the first place, even though that's the only direction you can go, visually it looks ridiculous, okay? And that's what we're teaching our kids. But it's what we do when we shut them down, when we tell them their feelings are too big, inappropriate, not needed, and just calm down and get over it. Like, I've done all those things, so please know, you're not alone. But turn it around on yourself. If someone told you your feelings are too big, if someone told you your feelings are inappropriate, which I've experienced that and it sucks, if someone told you that your feelings are not needed, please just calm down and get over it. Wow. Okay, so put that in a little personal perspective. If someone did that to you, you would feel small, insignificant, like you didn't matter, and that everything you felt was wrong. Okay? So listening, in essence, means allowing your child to get through the tunnel no matter how long it takes. Okay? And I think you'll be surprised to find out that it won't be as long as you think. I know it's an embarrassing 3 minutes in the grocery store. I totally know. And the older they get, the more embarrassing it is. But when you do this and be consistent about it and just tough it out and power through, I know you can do this, their tunnel time, that time where they're going to freak out and be upset and just lose their minds, it gets shorter. It's happening here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? The recovery time gets faster. It ends up being less severe overall because through this process, they learn how to regulate on their own instead of you doing it for them. Okay, very, very important, because once they leave for college, they're not going to have the tools. Okay, they've got to be able to be a member of society without this freak out. So you want your kid to be freaking out now when they're 5 or 10 or something, versus when they're 18 or 25, okay, and not able to be a member of society because they're having freakouts at an adult level. And if you've ever seen one of those, it's not pretty, okay? So, this is something that takes practice. It will not happen in one day. But again, if you are consistent, if you are intentional, it's hard to remember. I'm not perfect at this. Okay, so please know, you don't have to be perfect at this in order to start seeing results. I still mess up, probably on a daily basis with my kids in some way. But this has proven to work in our home, and the meltdowns are fewer, they are further between, they are less severe, and the recovery time is shorter. And then we go on to talk about it. We go on to problem solve. We go on to, find gratitude and what is good or whatever it is that comes next for you and your family. It's very, very simple. I will not say easy. Simple is different than easy, but I know you guys can do this. So I would love to hear how this is working in your home. Please shoot me an email. My email is erin@erinkmonahan.com. I believe it's attached to this podcast. Please come join the group, the free group, just like this podcast, Growth Mindset for Kids on Facebook. And this is just one of hundreds of tips and hacks I share with my clients. All of them are as simple and bite-sized as this, because I know these take time and it can be very, very overwhelming, but all of them can be done at home. You just have to know the right strategies, and everything starts to reverse very, very quickly. I mean, I'll give you as many as you want to implement within a week or something, but within a week, I mean, you will start seeing changes in your home. If you've got meltdowns going on every day, prime time. Okay? See what happens in a week. Give yourself a week. All right? Just see if anything is slightly different. And the best part is, the reason this works so quickly is because kids are fast learners, right? Their brains are still really malleable. So they're going to pick this up. They're going to have way less resistance to it than grown-ups do. All right? I would love to hear from you. I would love to see you in the group. Please, please send me an email if you would like to work with me. Because your child doesn't have to suffer anymore from low self-worth, perfectionism, anxiety, and you don't have to feel helpless and stuck with how to help them work through those things. So I do have spaces for individual client services, and I'd love to hear from you if you would like that level of help. But meanwhile, stay tuned for the next episode coming here probably in the next week or so. And I hope to hear from you guys soon, and I hope to see you in the group. Thanks. Bye.